Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 14 of the GC Podcast. I'm Anthony Mullins, your host, and I can't believe it's 2020. A new year, new seasons, and I bet a whole lot of new adventures. A lot is changing here on GC Podcast.
Can't believe it is 2020 already, Anthony.
2020, Joe. It's here. Let's do this.
I know. And I'm Joe Brandon, the ex-host of the GC Podcast that has recently passed on this amazing endeavor to this equally amazing man of Anthony.
You're the ex-host, but why do you keep coming back? We can't seem to get you to move on.
On that mold you can't get rid of.
No, it's fantastic to have you here, Joe. You know, on today's episode, Joe gets to talk to his wife, Megan Brannon, as she shares her knowledge and experience of preparing a worship service and the flow of a service. She talks about best song selection, scripture, working with the pastor, and incorporating your worship team in the process. Oh, this is going to be good. This is a definite listen for lead pastors, worship leaders, worship teams. Listen. And hey, leaders, switching gears here. Hey, yeah. Leaders, if you want to develop and grow more in your leadership, you will want to be at this year's denominational celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, is being held July 29th through August 2nd.
And it will be in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this celebration theme is called Focused on Hope.
And guess what? There's going to be breakouts, inspirational messages about the Hope Venue, which is your Sunday worship service, and there will be plenty of time to share and hang out with one another. Joe, will you hang out with me, please?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I would love to hang
All
out
right,
with you.
Just checking.
But you know what? The question that I do have is, where would one get registered for such an amazing celebration like that?
What? I'm so glad you asked that question, because all you have to do is go to gci.org/events/2020. Once again, that's gci.org/events/2020.
So I can go ahead and get registered now.
You can, but here's the thing. Go do it right
okay.
now.
Okay.
At this very moment.
Okay.
Oh, wait. We need you on the podcast. Stay here.
Oh.
So let's jump into this episode and Joe's conversation with Megan Brannon as she shares her process of preparing a worship service.
In the studio today, once again, we have the lovely, the talented, the absolutely perfect
Lies.
Megan Brannon.
Hello!
Megan Brannon is my lovely bride. I can't believe she said yes, what, like 15 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least yeah. 15 years ago.
Yeah.
She said yes when I asked her to marry me.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most foolish mistake she's ever made. I definitely got the better end of the deal. But she is my wife. We have three amazing kids. Megan Brannon, she has been a part of worship teams since she was 14, been leading teams since she was 17. And I'll tell you what, she is definitely one of the most passionate people, and the love that she has for God is definitely what stole my heart 25 years ago, because we've known each other since we were 11.
11, yes.
Yeah. And we've been doing ministry, I mean, since we were teenagers, doing
yes.
ministry together,
together.
Mm-hmm. As friends, and now we do it as partners.
Yeah.
And there's
awesome.
Nothing better in the world. There
I agree.
Is nothing better in the world. So I'm glad that you're here again.
Me too. Thank you.
Talking about worship, something that you absolutely love.
I love it. So good.
Hopefully we'll be able to make it through this subject.
Yes, I hope so too. It's going to be hard to get the information out of me.
Yeah.
But I'll do my best.
So what we're going to talk about today, what I'd like for you to share today is You've been leading worship for a very long time mm-hmm. with a bunch of different teams. Mm-hmm. You've led youth teams, mm-hmm. youth worship teams, young adult worship teams, adult worship teams, and blends of yes. worship, you know, where yes. it's young and old. And you have experienced a bunch of different stuff. You've mm-hmm. gone to some conferences, you've read books, you've learned a lot through trial and error.
Yes.
So one of the things I would love for you to talk about is service prep.
Okay.
There's a lot that goes into service prep. Many worship leaders, let's face it, most of the churches in America right now are, you know, 200 and less. Mm-hmm. And actually probably a bulk majority of those are probably under 100. So mm-hmm. it's really easy to just show up on a Sunday morning
right.
and just throw songs together and just do a worship service. Mm-hmm. But that's not what you believe in. You don't believe in just throwing a worship service together, but you believe in having an intentionality behind it.
Yes.
And I do want to add that it's not like you have served in a church of thousands.
Mm-mm.
I think the biggest church that we have ever served in was when we lived in Dallas, mm-hmm. actually.
Yes.
And I think that was as big as average attendance of like 70.
Mm-hmm.
We spiked a couple times into the 100 mm-hmm. Mark, but on average, it was about 60 or 70 people. So it's not a big church.
No.
I want you to share just a little bit of preparing for a service. How do you prep for a worship service? And what are the key elements?
Okay. Woo. Let's do this.
We've only got, 20,
less than 30
about,
now.
About 23 minutes now.
All right. great question, first of all, to talk about that. And you're right. It is super important to me that you don't just show up on Sunday and do a service. And it's funny that that's important to me because I used to do that all the time. I used to do it all the time. But as I matured and grew and understood the importance of being intentional, It has become such a mantra in my life. Anytime that I'm doing worship or asked to do worship, the prep is vital to your worship services. So what that looks like for me, important aspects are going to be, is there a theme for that Sunday? Is there a specific thing that we're trying to accomplish? Whether it's an Advent Sunday, what is the message that the pastor is going to be speaking on? What's his take-home message? What does that point look like? And then it's going to be on song selection, scripture selection, transitions. What does the whole service look like? And how are we going to put it together to where people leave with the vision for whatever that Sunday is.
Okay.
So those are kind of the aspects that go into it. Prep looks like, again, those same kind of things. I'm going to be asking the pastor. A lot of times if I'm working in a congregation that I'm leading, there's already the kind of this established when I take on leadership, and that is that there's a communication with the pastor of what that Sunday's message is going to be about, or if there's a specific thing. So I kind of know at the beginning of the week what their message is going to be, any theme scriptures they're going to do, or things like that. And then I spend some time praying about it. That time varies all the time on how much or little time I do. And then there's ideally a practice time in the week sometime there too. But just for the sake of prepping, there's prayer about kind of how God wants to use that service to help achieve this. Kind of then I just pick out some songs based on a format that I tend to use as far as like the flow of a service. And then once I kind of have the songs nailed down, I'll then start working through scriptures that tie into those songs into the theme.
Okay. Yeah. So what you're saying is it starts with communication with the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And also kind of thinking about the calendar.
Yes.
Churches have rhythms.
Yes.
You know, we have Easter, we have Christmas, we have all these different mm-hmm. Important parts of the year
right.
that we'd like to really highlight. So what is going, you know, are any of those things coming up
right.
that you have to be mindful of for prep?
Right.
But for the most part, your week in, week out
mm-hmm.
is asking the pastor, hey, what is your message about? What's your point? You know,
mm-hmm.
And trying to get that vision of their message.
Right.
After you get that, then you take some time yourself
mm-hmm.
to reflect and pray and see where God is moving you.
Yes.
Within that message.
Yes.
And then from that point is when you kind of bring it to the team?
Yeah, usually I will. Like if we have a weekly practice set up and in play for our worship teams, which I highly recommend all worship teams have a weekly practice. Again, if you've listened to other podcasts, not just for the technical aspect, but for the relational building, which is vital to your worship team and your congregation and your church. But yes, a weekly practice. Then usually what I'll do is I'll have maybe some ideas in mind of what I'd like to do. I know what the theme idea is going to be most of the times, not always, but most of the time. And then I'll bring it to the team and say, hey, guys, this is what I'm thinking. Or what do you guys, do any of you guys feel especially moved about a song this week? Is there anything on your heart this week that you feel like God is asking you to share with us? Like anything? Do you guys, you know, and we kind of just banter that out a little bit at the beginning before we put the service together if I don't have it already in set or the pastor's asked for things specific. And we'll talk about that at practice and they have an opportunity to pull songs in that they like to do, which I think is really important because if it's only what I like, then you're only going to have a service that reflects what I like mm-hmm. and not what is the pulse of the congregation and the pulse of our team. And so I think it's super important to be able to have space for that to happen because as all of us as people know, not everybody is reached by everything. And that includes us as worship leaders and worshipers. Not every song moves me. Not every song reaches me and just inspires me. But every song should point me to God. And every song should point me at to remember God's worthiness of my worship, regardless of if I like the music or the tempo or the words. So creating space for your team to have input is important in that. So yes, we bring it to the worship practice, kind of then finish putting together the songs for that Sunday. Most of the time, there were, especially on the last worship team that we did when we lived in Dallas, I would have certain people willing to read scripture or pray who just kind of had a standing like, hey, if you ever need me to, I'm happy to do it, that kind of thing. So knowing that I had people, which again, I think is important to include people on your team to present different parts of your transitions and your worship flow, again, helps create a unity in your worship service too. So again, knowing that I had people doing that after we put the songs together and practiced them at practice, the rest of the week then I would put all the rest of the transitions in there if we were going to do any video elements, kind of work on finding any of the video stuff, getting that stuff sent out to the tech team who, if they weren't at practice, but even if they were, like kind of getting everything organized and finalized.
I really like how you incorporate the worship team into the song selection. Mm-hmm. You have a thought, you know, you have an idea of what songs you may want to use, mm-hmm. especially if the message of the sermon specifically talks about certain things, it's going to strike up some ideas of mm-hmm. songs to match with that. But I like how you bring the whole team into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to tie this together.
Okay.
You talked about worship flow,
mm-hmm.
and then you're talking about the bringing the team in to make song selection.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how you use, well, first of all, what worship flow is, and kind of what's the template that you kind of go off of, and that's kind of the parameters of which the team selects the songs.
Mm-hmm.
That way you don't have your worship team coming in and they're picking, you know, six songs that are all high tempo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is worship flow, first of all, when you talk about it?
So when I say a worship flow in the service, that for me is going to start the minute we really open the doors for everyone to start coming into church, not into the sanctuary, but even into the building. So from that moment until the last word is spoken on the stage, you know, like what we want them to leave with. So from the time they get there to the time they leave, essentially, that's going to be the whole, that encompasses worship flow for me. So that's going to include our welcome, our call to worship, and then we usually do a few songs to help guide people into a worship and kind of help transition them from coming in with all the noise of the world and all the things and chaos that's been happening that week, transitioning them into a space where they feel like they can encounter God and where they feel open to receive what he has for them today, that day. And then through the different elements of the service, whether you have scripture reading, offering, communion, messages, you know, however that works, you flow into that and then ending with another song that's kind of upbeat. Is that what you mean, kind of like by flow when I say that?
Okay. Yeah, because that's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That's what you mean by worship flow.
Yes.
There is a flow. Mm-hmm. To or some people call it a journey.
Yes,
it's you can use whatever word that you want to mm-hmm. as a ministry leader, pastor, worship mm-hmm. leader, but you're taking people on a journey.
Yes,
and I've heard you talk about it before, to where it goes from kind of a horizontal worship mm-hmm. to a vertical worship.
Yes,
what do you mean by that when you talk about horizontal worship and vertical worship? Because that's more in regards to song selection, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, it is. And that's more, the worship flow, that the description that I gave is more of a vague, broad sense of it. And this part is going to be more of the technical, like,
specifics
of it. So generally for me, what I find to be the most receptive to congregations and the best idea for this, and this is statistically speaking through many conferences I've been a part of, my own podcasts I've listened to, people I've learned from, books I've read in worship leading, and that is that to have something, a song at the beginning, like a call to worship or something, that starts a few minutes before your actual service starts, and that kind of lets people know that, hey, we're about to start services. You want it to tend to be something more upbeat, something more, or if you're having a very specific service that day that's very specific to that. But most of the time, you want it to be something upbeat that's going to bring people in, get them excited again. Most people that come into church every week have lived the week. You know, they've not been standing in that church the entire week. So there's a lot of junk that comes in with them, a lot of chaos that comes with them, a lot of mess. And sometimes they're having a great week, sometimes they're having a really awful week, but they bring all that in with them.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to help them transition from inward focused on all the things that's going on to a focus, again, encountering Jesus in that space. So I always start usually with a call to worship, just to let people come on in, to let people come on into the service, find their seats. Then we have like a brief welcome, and, you know, like welcome to our services, whether you have like an MC, so to speak, or somebody
a host.
Yeah, thank you. To do that, we welcome them in. Sometimes you can have some announcements, whatever you want to do there. And then you start with your worship. And usually I'll do about three songs based on time, because I want to have time for transitions in there too. So I always usually start with, most often I start with an upbeat, high energy song that's going to be more, like you said, horizontal worship. And what that means is it's going to include words like us, you know, talking more about God in a group sense, usually more high energy, again, helping people kind of transition from being out in the world to being in the space of encountering Jesus. Then the next song is usually more of a medium song, where we start to transition and starting to use more like words where it talks to God.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can still be about God, but you're slowing the tempo down. You're helping transition people into a more intimate worship set. Transitions are also extremely important in this whole process. And we can talk more about transitions later if you want to. But after that medium song, then I usually go into an intimate worship song or a slower song. And that song is going to be more directly where we're talking to God. So then you're going into a vertical worship. So we started first talking about God, and then we're going to start talking to God. So like, for an example, where like the song, I'm trying to think of one that most people know, but there's a song called Spirit Move, where it says, I feel it in my bones, you're about to move. You're talking about the Spirit, you know, talking about that way.
Yeah.
Versus a vertical song where it's like the song, The Stand, on the bridge, where it says, and I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of who you are. More or less, you know, so now I'm basically telling God, I'm standing and I'm in awe of you.
Yeah.
So now I'm speaking directly.
And you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's an example of two different types of songs where you would use those. After that, usually you can have, those are your three songs and how you put those kind of together to create this flow of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think working with pastors over the years, I've received a lot of feedback on how great it is when the congregation responds to an intimate worship set. There's a heart change and a shift. You can kind of even feel it in
Absolutely.
The room. And it just even inspires the words that the pastor is going to speak, or the message that's being delivered, the prayers that are being said. It brings this openness and this inspiration to the next act act element of service, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a dance within that. So then when your worship is inspirational and people's hearts are open and there's this space for worship, then the message comes in and we're open to receive it and they're inspiring us and we get re-inspired as a congregation. And then when you get back up to close out the service, you have just this inspiration. And for me, it's super important to have people leave the service being inspired and fueled to go out the week again and just live in this love. They've been inspired, they've been encouraged, they've been hope-filled. And I want people to leave on a high note. I want them to leave feeling all of those things. So I will generally end a service on a high note, like a fast, upbeat song again, more probably horizontal, talking about God, sometimes you talking vertically to God, but just a very high energetic song. So people feel uplifted, happy, and encouraged after the service.
Well, we love and serve a sending God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sends out, Jesus sends out the disciples mm-hmm. a couple of different times. Then at the end of his life, he sends out all and says, I'm with you always. So why not have a church service mm-hmm. that is sending people out with energy and with excitement and everything?
Right.
So worship, the worship flow that you're talking about is you have an upbeat call to worship
mm-hmm.
That is supposed to be kind of the cue of letting people know that the service is starting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not like you're trying to go really deep
mm-mm.
from the beginning.
No.
You're just trying to get people into their seats.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a host that kind of comes up. They do a welcome. They may have some announcements at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Something kind of short and then kind of then introduce into the next step of the journey,
mm-hmm.
which is the worship team then leading worship
mm-hmm.
That's more high energy,
mm-hmm.
then kind of transitions into a medium song, then transitions into a more slow, mm-hmm. intimate song. And then from there, you know, there's different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes offering, sometimes intercessory prayer, and then the
sometimes
sermon.
Scripture reading.
Yeah, scripture
mm-hmm.
reading and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then afterwards, you end with a high energy song that's
yes.
kind of sending people
out.
Sending mm-hmm. people out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. So when you come to your worship team
mm-hmm.
and you say, hey, this is the message, this is the theme. Is there anything, any song moving within y'all's lives
mm-hmm.
right now that might go along with that,
mm-hmm.
that your team knows that it's within these parameters
yes.
of like, you know, 2-3 fast songs, a medium song, and a slow song?
Yes.
They know the parameters.
Yes.
So there's the vision that you have with your team
mm-hmm.
of saying, this is the worship flow
mm-hmm.
right here. And I want to include you guys into this process because this is our team, not
right.
just my team, because the Spirit is moving within them too.
Yes,
not
absolutely.
Just you,
nope.
not just the pastor,
no.
but in everybody.
Yes.
And so now they know what parameters to fit
mm-hmm.
within, which makes sense because that probably minimizes a whole lot of frustrations
yeah.
if you have, you know, 4 or 5 fast songs that come up. Everybody knows, well, we can only have 3.
Mm-hmm.
We can only have 3 fast songs.
Right. And I've done that before in practices where if I might have 1 or 2 already set songs and I'm like, hey guys, what do you guys feel like doing this week? What is, you know, after we go through the other stuff of, and I'm like, hey, anything on your hearts? Like, does anybody feel really moved to do a specific song? And they might say, oh, what about this one? And I have said before, okay, well, we've already got this one in that spot. Do you want to switch this one out for that one? Or do you like this one? Because it is that same flow. And I think it's super important as like the worship coordinator or the one consistent thing to have some kind of format that is consistent week to week. Because if you have someone else leading on a different Sunday where you're having that Sunday off or you're having someone come in, there's a consistency within that. Now, the songs are going to be different every week, but there's a consistency in how that flow is going to go from week to week in your service.
Well, and consistency creates stability.
Yes.
So when you have somebody brand new that comes in when you're leading worship that week,
mm-hmm.
if they come in a different week and it's completely different and all over the place, that can create some instability and,
yes.
and they may start to question, man, what is this church about? This
mm-hmm.
is kind of all over the place. It was different last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so it creates
yeah.
stability for new people you know, that, yes, that come into your church.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you create this worship flow and you have the songs and, you know, you feel good about it and those kinds of things, what's your process of communicating those songs with, like, you've already done it with the band, but communicating with, like, the tech team and the pastor and et cetera? What's your process of communicating the songs and the service that is prepared?
So usually after that worship practice where we've nailed everything down as far as the songs and what we're going to do that week, I'll usually go home, ideally that night, but usually not till the next day or so. And I have a template for our order of service is what I call it. It's a template that we've set up where it's got all the elements to our service built into it. And then I just will fill in the gaps. I'll, you know, put the date in there for the Sunday that we're doing it, fill in all the songs that we're doing. If the pastor, what sermon he's giving, what message title it is, if we're doing any offering, scripture reading, what scripture, who's doing those things. I like basically when you go to a concert and they give you
a program.
Yeah, a program.
Yeah.
It's like a program, but for our leaders, so that everybody can know what's going on and who's doing what and where they're doing it. And I will usually send that out during the week before the weekend. That's my goal every time. Doesn't always happen, but that's my goal.
When you say send it out, you mean email it.
Mm-hmm.
Email it to everybody.
Yeah, I do.
You email it to all the tech team. You mm-hmm. email it to all the worship team, to the pastors, mm-hmm. and just about anybody.
Our ushers, anybody that's in a leadership role that's going to be in charge of any aspect or oversees any aspect of the service gets it. To me, over-communication is better than under-communication. So
yeah.
I'm going to send it out to as many people as I can. We also have done it where I've loaded it onto the Google Drive. We've had a Google Drive for our teams, our tech team and our worship team and the pastors and all the leaders are included in that too. And since I am not as good at that, like I'm not a detailed person in that sense, I had delegated that out to somebody on my team to upload it onto the Google Drive once I had sent it to them. So any new song got uploaded onto the Google Drive, or the template for the service got uploaded onto the Google Drive. So it was accessible by people, even if I didn't email it to them.
And for those of you that don't know what a Google Drive is, mm-hmm. is it's an online storage, essentially, mm-hmm. is what it is, that is done by Google, and you have a Gmail account that you can set up and they give you free storage space, and you can create a shared folder, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so what your team did is you added everybody's Google account, usually their Gmail account,
mm-hmm.
and they could access that folder,
mm-hmm.
and they could print out the songs or download the songs as far as the chord sheets and mm-hmm. everything, and they could practice at home.
Yes. It's really important to do that. And then also, this is not quite on the communication, but how I introduce new songs, same thing. I will usually at the beginning of the week, if I have a new song I want our team to learn, I'm going to send out the YouTube link. That's the closest version of how I'm going to play it possible, because my expectation for our team is that they spend time on their own before we get together for practice, listening and being familiar with that song. Even before I send chord sheets out, I'll send that YouTube link out. And even if I'm not ready to do it that week and I'm going to introduce that song to my team in the next couple of weeks, I'll send it out pretty much as soon as I'm like falling in love with the song, because I want our team to start getting familiar with it. So I'll send the YouTube link out and say, hey, start listening to this song. I love it. Let me know what you think. I'll probably add this into our repertoire and I'll send out chord sheets, you know, sometime later. And they can be listening on that for a couple of weeks before I ever get chord sheets out to them. But that, again, that can go on our Google Drive as well. But keeping that communication as well and the expectation for our team when we introduce new songs is also important.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You said you delegated that to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It was this person that it was delegated to. They wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So you're not good at it.
No.
Yeah, as far as keeping up with it.
Mm-mm.
But so you told your team, you were open, you were candid about it, and you mm-hmm. said, listen, I'm not going to be very good at keeping this stuff up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Would any of you guys would any of you guys be willing
mm-hmm.
to do this for us?
Mm-hmm.
And there was somebody that chimed in, and there was actually another person
that
said,
two people.
Yeah, and they were on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I there were several times that I would see an email or text message saying, hey, can you change this key
mm-hmm.
on these chord sheets? It was like within an hour,
yeah.
easy, and it was done.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
Uploaded. And
yeah.
Yeah. It definitely was not my forte, but...
And that also minimizes you having the responsibility of printing out all of the, mm-hmm. the chord sheets and bringing them to practice and to mm-hmm. the service, and because you're not a babysitter.
No.
We're talking about most of these people are adults, mm-hmm. you know, so... Yep. It's good to hold them accountable to where they can grow.
Yes.
And they can practice on their own. And you had that expectation from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. What I would like for you to do, we have a lot of, you know, worship leaders and pastors listening. So how can a worship leader or pastor start the discussion about worship flow? Especially if you have a worship leader or pastor right now that is listening and they're analyzing their service and they're thinking, wow, do we have an intentionality in our flow? Are we mm-hmm. taking people on an intentional journey within our Sunday worship service? Mm-hmm. What would you say to a worship leader or pastor to start that discussion about the worship flow, whether it's the worship leader to a pastor or pastor to a worship leader?
Are you asking how do they start the discussion to find out if they have a flow or to create a flow?
Yes.
Okay. Yes to all. Mm-hmm. I think first you have to, as a worship leader to a pastor, I would have to feel comfortable to say, hey, let's sit down and talk about our service. Let's sit down and talk about what our vision is, what our vision for our congregation is, what are our goals as a church, and then how do we achieve that? And are we achieving that right now? And you start that conversation. I mean, that is a conversation I've had as a worship leader to a pastor when I've started to do worship in a congregation, because it helps, again, in a previous podcast, I think I said that, or maybe this one, but it helps be able to just participate so much better. And as a pastor, if you are sitting here and thinking, do we have good flow? What are we doing? Is this working? Is our worship leader on board with this? I think it's extremely important, especially as the pastor, to cast the vision to your leaders and cast a clear vision to your leaders, especially your worship leaders as well, because they help carry that vision forward. Everybody does. Everybody's got a role to it. It's not like the worship leader is more important than anybody else. But it's really important that they have a clear vision going forward. So call them up and say, hey, let's sit down. Let's go out for coffee. Let's have a meal together. Let's talk about where we want our church to go. Let's share our visions. I want to talk to you about what I see, and I want to hear what you see. You know what I mean? And start casting that vision together and sharing in that. And then be open-minded, because not every service flow is going to look the same. What we did in Oklahoma did not necessarily work in Texas, which does not work for people out here. You know what I mean? There's different cultures in churches. There's different flows. There's different values, not core value, but just different highlights that people like to do. So it's not going to be exactly the same. But things that I think that should be the same are your core values, which is to love Jesus, and you know what I mean? Those yeah. kinds of core values yeah. I think should be the same. And I do think it's important to start high and end high. I think it's really important, because that goes into distractions of worship and creating a space where people are inspired to worship.
I don't know if we're going to have time for this. What do you mean by start high, end high?
Start high, end high is like starting what we talked about. Like start on a high note, like come in excited.
Okay.
And then end on a high note, sending them out.
Gotcha. When people are being received into the church building, mm-hmm. it needs to start on a high note.
Yes.
And then it needs to end on a high note to send them back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sadness and mess in the world that we all encounter every single day.
And
we bring it into the church. And I was going to say, and it's also in the church.
Yes.
We bring it inside the walls. We are not excluded from the mess and the yuck. We are just as much of a part of it. But I think any opportunity we have to remind people that we are included in a love that encompasses us so completely, and that we don't have to fix people, we just get to love people. And any opportunity we have to remind ourselves of that and other people of that, and to encourage them, to lift them up, and to walk life on life of them, like, we should take that opportunity to refocus people on what it's really about. And I think Sundays are the time to do that.
Megan.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This was so good. Once again, another podcast where we could go down all kinds of different trails within this. I mean, we didn't even start talking about, you know, when you were talking about the call to worship, you know, it's to let people know that the service is about to begin. Mm-hmm. So that means how important is it for the worship team to get there early enough to where they can do a sound check and be done to where they can be off stage.
Yes.
That way when music does start, people aren't confused on are they still practicing?
Right.
Are they still doing a sound check or is service starting?
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't even get into that.
We didn't dig into that or transition. So.
Or transition. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like we have another podcast coming
up. It does sound
Man.
Like one.
Yeah, this podcast might end up actually being a lot more than just once a month. If it keeps going this way.
What a great interview. Joe, it's like you and Megan, you're like married or something and best friends.
Right? I know, right?
It's like you really enjoy, you almost enjoyed it too much and it felt like it could keep going and going and going as you talk about what it looks like to craft a worship service. And, you know, she said several important things, but probably the one that stood out to me because of my role as a lead pastor, and Megan just happens to be my worship leader right now in this season of life, is that communication between worship leader and the pastor, that there's truly a flow, a cohesiveness, that a theme emerges each and every Sunday that really focuses everybody's attention on a certain aspect of who God is. So that's what spoke to me. What spoke to you?
Pretty much the same thing. I love the integration with all the aspects of worship that she talked about. And that's where that theme comes from. You know, working with the pastor, figuring out what is the main theme of the message that we want people to walk away with. And what I really like is how she doesn't do it in isolation. Yeah, she's working with the pastor, trying to find out, okay, Pastor, what is your message about, and how can we craft the song selection to follow that theme? But then she also comes to the worship team and includes the worship team into that arena as well of selecting a song that might be speaking to them that week.
She's an includer.
Yeah.
And I think that's what ministry looks like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was so good. Well, be sure to check out more resources in the show notes at the resources site. And you know what that site is, Joe Brannon?
I believe so.
I don't know that you do because you're the ex-host. So this stuff is probably out of your memory now. Why don't you give it a go and see if you still remember?
Okay, let me see. resources.gci.org/GC podcast.
What? You still got it, man.
I still got it.
You want your old job? You want your old job back,
well,
Joe?
Don't mess up because I'm right there.
No, it was like it was meant to be. I set you up. I meant to do that. That's right. resources.gci.org/GC podcast. And as a quick reminder.
Oh, yeah.
The 2020 denominational celebration registration is open. So what are you going to do about that, Joe?
You know what I'm going to do? I am going to go to gci.org/events/2020 and get registered immediately.
You better do that because the theme is focused on hope. You don't want to miss out on hope, do you?
No. I want to focus on it.
You're in the groove. Friends, thanks for joining us. We'll see you on the next episode of GC Podcast.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.